Praise the Lord. Testing, are we on? If you can hear me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. What's it say after that? I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's an old song that we sing. I want to thank the Lord this morning for the opportunity that we have to come this morning and just break bread with you. And I really want to just simply encourage you out of my heart this morning. Would that be all right? Come on, somebody say amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now for what he has already done, what he's going to do. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not over until God says it's over. It might look impossible right now, but that impossible thing, God is well able to make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, if I'm too loud, just raise your hand, because I don't want to shout anybody out of the place. It's too loud? Okay, Layton, it's too loud, they said. I don't really need the microphone. I can use my preaching voice if I have to. I just want to thank Pastor Debbie. She's not here, but I believe told that it's being recorded, but I just want to say thank you publicly for asking me. I consider it a great privilege and an honor to be here in this house today. This is the house of the Lord. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So wherever you go, there he is. There's the house of the Lord. And so, and I also want to just publicly thank Renee and Bob for having myself and my daughter Erica. She's in the back there next to Rachel. Just waved everybody, Erica. That's our little baby girl. Our 19-year-old is still at home working and being responsible and leading worship this morning in the church where we reside at the Easton Pentecostal Church. I also want to just quickly make mention of what an honor it is to be speaking this morning with Pastor Grant and I call her Mama. Mother Grant here this morning, and how that when Renee and I met each other at Zion Bible Institute, oftentimes I would come home with her and I would get opportunities to be able to minister. So I want to say thank you, Pastor Grant, for helping give me a little boost in the right direction in the times when I thought, well, what am I and what can I do and what can I be? But little did I know that God was preparing a path and preparing a way where there seemed to be no way, so that my voice might be heard and that the word of God would be proclaimed for his glory and for his honor. Would you say amen this morning? So I just want to thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Our text this morning, you've seen it in your bulletin, is going to come out of Joshua chapter 3. And I don't know if I'll read all of the verses for the sake of time. It's 20 of 11. Renee, what time are we done? 11:30? Oh, okay, so I've got lots of time. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. I don't know if you realize it yet or not, but God has been talking to us this morning. For he is a linguistical God. He's a God that speaks. He's a talking God. He's been talking to us this morning, and he's been communicating to us in a way that only God can do. Would you say amen? By way of when we first walked into this house this morning and we opened the service with a word of prayer. If you are listening, let him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. And so if you're listening, God will speak to you. By way of the worship this morning, if you were listening, God was speaking this morning. By way of the preaching of the word, I love how God does what only he can do. He's a speaking God. He can speak to us individually, and yet he can speak to us corporately and do it all in a way that only he can. How does God do that? I'm completely awestruck and amazed at the awesomeness of who God is and his ability to do what he does in a way that only he can do. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verses 24, that God is spirit, And because he is spirit, he can do what he does in a way that only he can do. Would you say amen this morning? Joshua chapter 3, how many of you have that this morning? We're going to go there. Don't be impatient. But I just want to give a little bit of just some encouragement and some introduction here this morning. Because of the children of Israel, because of their unbelief, Israel has wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And the wandering and the waiting is over, and they are on the verge of claiming their inheritance, the land of promise. However, before they can enter Canaan, they must first get past one final major obstacle that is standing in the way of what God said, of where he said, I'm going to take you to, but they're on the edge of something that seems impossible, the Jordan River. And normally it wouldn't be such a big problem because the Jordan was only 1,000 feet wide at Gilgal, where they had crossed before, but it's a completely different season now. Everyone say, it's a different season now. Come on, it's a different season now than it had been previously. You see, it's harvest time, Pastor Grant, and when it's harvest time, the Jordan River will be at flood stage. And those who have been there during harvest time tell us that the Jordan would swell of over a mile wide. It was over 50 times wider than it normally would have been when Israel arrived. It was impassable, and it was impossible for them to get over across on the other side all by themselves. But I told you that the wandering and the waiting was over, and God said, now it's time for you to possess the land. Come on, somebody say, it's time for you to walk into your inheritance, for the promises to unfold and be fulfilled for the people of God. Now look at three people right now and say to them, how are you going to get over that? Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, how are you going to get over that? How are we going to get over that thing that seems so wide, that seems so big, that seems so impassable and impossible? How are we going to get over that? Come on, look at them one more time and say, how are you going to get over that? That thing that's in front of you, you see fulfillment and victory and possibility and your future on the other side, but how are we going to get over that? I don't know about you, but there's been some things in my life when I've stood back and I have said, God, how am I going to get over that? I've been made some promises. God's spoken some things into my life that I know, that I know, that I know was God. It may have come through a man, it may have come through a woman, but God said, and I heard what he said, and there are times when I stand on the edge of that promise that he has made me, and I have said, God, how am I going to get over that? Come on, how am I going to get from where I am to what you have promised me? Anybody been there? How many of you are facing something that seems so impossible, seems so big and so wide that you think in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart, you're saying to yourself, I am never going to get over that. I don't know what that is this morning. I don't know what the Jordan that stands between you and promise and victory, I don't know what it is, but this one thing I do know, that God specializes in things that are thought impossible. Can I just have that bottle of water right there? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen. I know that this might not be a word for everybody, but I know it's a word for somebody. Because if you happen to be sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, just as Leighton said this morning, if you haven't faced something yet, just get ready because it's coming. Somebody's facing an impossible situation and you're standing there on the edge saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to get over this. Come on. God, I don't know how this thing is going to be removed from my life. I don't know how I'm going to get from where I am to where you want me to be. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God specializes. He's a God of the impossible. He knows how to do What only God can do. Would you say amen this morning? There's an old song that says, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. God will do what no other power can do." Hallelujah. If we say nothing more this morning, would it be enough? Come on, say amen. Say it's enough. Hallelujah. When I think about the children of Israel being at the edge of this Jordan River and have been encamped there, if it was time for them to enter into that which God had promised them, then why would he bring them to a place of impossibility? Why would God bring them there? I've heard some people say that God only leads certain courses. The devil is a liar. Come on, I said the devil is a liar. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I said the Spirit of God led him there. And God will lead you to places, or will allow you to walk to places that seem impossible to get over, to get across. So why would God bring them to this place of impossibility, to a place of what looked like a dead end, to a place where if they attempted to cross over it on their own and deal with it on their own, surely it would have destroyed them? But understand, it was harvest time, and if it's harvest time, there will always be an obstacle that will stand in the way of what God said and what he has promised, and the reason being is so that when you cross over to the other side of what you thought was impossible, no man will be able to boast and say, "Look at what I have done," but you'll have to stand back and say, "Look what the Lord hath done. I couldn't get there on my own, but look what the Lord hath done." Come on, would you just give God a yet praise? I'm not across the river yet. I'm not across the impossible situation yet. I'm not to the fulfillment of the promise yet, but I'm standing upon the word of the Lord that says, all things are possible to them that believe. How many of you believe this morning? I believe I shared with you last week just a little bit of my testimony. By the way, I'm only 6 weeks out from the surgery that I had cut from here to here. And I feel strength in my body this morning. I know that it was the plan of God for me to come and to rest at Renee and Bob's house and to get rest, to get stronger, but I didn't know I was going to undergo some physical therapy while I was there that would prepare me for this day. So I'm thanking the Lord right now. I feel pretty good. So the children of Israel would need a supernatural help to be able to get over this thing. How many of you are looking at your situation and you're going, "I think I need some supernatural help to get over this thing"? You've tried everything else and nothing has worked, and you're realizing this morning that in and of your own strength, you can't do it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How many of you are standing on the edge of the Jordan? There's an obstacle between you and spiritual victory, and there's no way around it. I just wish that we would just get a little bit, let somebody really see you this morning. Come on, we come in, and we all were dressed up, and some of us are just in comfortable clothes, and some of us are dressed up, and you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're standing on the edge of something, or something has already happened, and you just cannot seem to get over that. It's true, I don't know what kind of obstacles you're facing in your life, and some of you are facing some major obstacles. You're about to come face to face with something that looks insurmountable and impossible. But I know the God who specializes in overcoming overwhelming, impassable, and impossible situations And I said, supernaturally, he will lead his children to promise and victory. And when you cross over, you're going to leave behind all of the heartaches and all the pain and all the trials and all the wilderness that almost took you out. It won't matter because you crossed over and you're too busy enjoying the promise and the victory to worry about what you had to go through to get there. Come on, I'm a firm believer that what worked for them over 3,000 years ago will work today. I said, what God did then, he still will do and does do it today. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for them, I said, he'll do for you. How did they get over that? How did they get over that? Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to take you somewhere. Joshua chapter 3, and let's read verses 1 through 13, and I'm going to try to get you there very quickly, all right? And Joshua, say amen if you have it. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Everyone say, we got to watch the Lord. Keep our eyes on the Lord because we haven't been this way before. Come on, say, I haven't been this way before. This new work, this ministry, Pastor Debbie has something in her heart and in her spirit that she believes God said. And so we're going to stand with her and believe with her and hold her up in prayer and support her in every way possible, because I can promise you that there are times when she looks at it and says, you know, in our flesh and in our carnal thinking, we think, how are we going to get over that? How are we going to win this town? Pastor Grant's going to be instrumental in helping this ministry cross over. Come on, somebody, to the other side, to promise and victory. Verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow Jehovah will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And Jehovah said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I am with you. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Everyone say, stand still. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of Jehovah your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, for every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, when the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of Jehovah, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, even the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand in one heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant being before the people, and when they bear the Ark, were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great way off at Adam, and the city that is beside Zarethan, and those that went down toward the sea of the Arabah, even the salt sea, were wholly cut off. And the people passed right against Jericho. That means it was Jericho was right there. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah stood firm on dry ground and in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the nation were passed clean over the Jordan. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. Come on, say, how are we going to get over that? When God says it's time, expect that it's going to be a challenge to get from where you are on one side to get to the other side. It's going to be a test of your faith in the God that you serve and are following and your willingness to do what God says. In verses 3 and 4, the officers were told to go through the camp and command the people that when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God that the priests were bearing, to keep watch and to go after it. Somebody say, go after God this morning. In the middle of your impossible situation, you must keep your eyes on the God that you serve, because you'll never get over that thing. You'll never cross over onto the other side if you keep your focus and your attention on anything but the God that you serve. The Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 7 times in this chapter 3. And remember that the Ark of the Covenant symbolized the very presence and the power and the glory of the God that they served. To Israel, it represented God's presence in the midst of his people. In other words, when God moved, they were supposed to move. When God stopped, they were supposed to do the same. Outside of that, they dared not do it because they would end up getting into a whole lot of trouble if they tried to do things on their own, which is why they wandered for 40 years. How many of you want to continue to wander in the wilderness, wander in the impossible situation that you're in right now because you keep trying to do and get across the thing, get over the thing in your own strength and in your own way? And God says, keep your eyes upon me. Take my word. Listen to me. When I move and say move, then go ahead and move. But if I'm saying to you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, then just stand still and wait on the Lord this morning. It's a learning process. When we as God's children are facing obstacles and are in crisis, keep your eyes fixed on God and go after him. Go after his presence, and in doing so, the direction that you need, the presence and the sustaining way-making power of God will go before you as you remain sensitive to the moving of God and his voice. When they saw the Ark of the Covenant move, they were to leave your place and go after it. You can't camp on this side of the Jordan. And neither could they. If they were going to cross over the impossible, they were going to have to just be obedient and have faith and trust that when the Ark of the Covenant, the presence and power and glory of God moved, they were going to have to get up from their comfortability and do what God said do. Might not look like it's crossing over time. It might not feel like it's crossing over time. It might look like it's still an impossible situation. But if God says it's time to get up out of your stuff and start crossing over to the other side, then it's time to get up and get out of your stuff and start crossing over to the other side. It could have been easy for the children of Israel to sit there on this side of the Jordan. They had the promise, God's not a God that he should lie. If he said it, he's going to do it. And so this morning, not only were they to watch God, that they were to move when he did, and they were to pursue him. It's not enough to know what God is doing. There comes a time when you must leave your place. Some of us want to stay in our stuff. Some of us want to stay in the trauma, the drama, keep it for your mama kind of stuff, right? Some of us know that there is a way to cross over, but we just want to stay there. It's more comfortable for us to stay where we are than to trust God and to get up and follow him and cross over. It's not always easy to take him at his word. If you've been with him a very long time, you learn that you just, I don't know about you, but I just trust him. He's gotten me over many, many, many Jordans in my life. And every time he's made a way where there seems to be no way, when I get to the other side, because hindsight is 20/20, when I cross over and I get to the other side, I don't think about what I had to go through. I'm just too busy rejoicing and sometimes, excuse me, but just dancing before the Lord and thanking him for all that he has done for me. My stuff might not be your stuff, and your stuff might not be my stuff. And what was traumatic to you might not be traumatic to me. What seems big and insurmountable and large and uncrossable for you might not be seem that way to me. But it doesn't matter. What matters is, do you trust that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, and that he's able to get you to the other side? Not going to finish this today. Hallelujah. Come on, say, how did they get over that? It couldn't have been easy, but it was necessary for them. In order to get over that, they had to just trust God and his word. I want you to notice that the Israelites are told to stay at least 3,000 feet behind the ark. This was so that they could easily see what was happening ahead of them. Another reason is that the Lord wanted no one but the Levites near the ark. To get too close would have meant death, and we must always honor God. I want to share just a little bit of a story, a situation that is kind of fresh and new. There's a young man who for many, many years didn't know that, and it kind of fits here, it's a dangerous thing to think that God Almighty is our buddy and that he understands that when I try to do things in my own flesh that he'll just let it go. To think that you can stay in your sin or stay in your stuff and try to perform or try to do the work of God. Doesn't work. You better stay away from the holy thing. Stay away from, don't you put your hands somewhere where you just think that God will just turn his head and excuse what you're doing. Don't ever stand before the people without first saying, God, if there's anything between you and I, wash me in the blood of the Lamb this morning. Cleanse me and make me right and whole before you. You keep trying to get over your stuff and cross over that in your sin. God says, when he said to the people, said to Joshua, tell the people to sanctify themselves. Get right. Get clean. Get washed up. There's a man who was playing, thinking that he could lead worship while from the time that he was a young man, living an alternate lifestyle. Some people knew that he was struggling to a point, to a place, but kind of just lifted up the carpet and swept it under because, after all, he was really good, talented. But how many of you know that be sure your sin will find you out? I mean, if you want to stay in your sin, don't stand before the people of God and try to lead them into worship. Don't try to stand up there and preach the word while you're living in sin. Don't touch it. Don't go there. And so this young man thought, I was getting pretty good at this. He said, I was thinking that I was fooling everybody, that nobody knew. I mean, people were coming up to me and saying, you're doing a great job. Awesome job. All the while, living this other life, married with children, she had no idea, but God knew. How many of you know that nothing escapes the Lord? Be sure you sin, we'll find you out. And so they were to stay a certain distance from the ark so that they could see which way the Lord was leading. Remember, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people, millions. And how were they going to know the way to go if they didn't keep a distance between them and the ark? But also it was to the idea was to just have honor and respect for the presence of the Lord. So sanctify yourself, because the Lord is about to do great and wonderful things. This young man is sitting down right now and being ministered to and trying to cross over to the other side. And because of choices and situations that this young man has allowed to come into his life and had just given into, it has caused an insurmountable, impassable, impossible situation for his wife and his children and the family and the church and so on and so on and so on. Some of the impossible situations, the Jordans that you're standing on the edge of, are not always, God, he'll bring us to certain places, but some of the impossibilities you cause to happen yourself. You made the incrossable, impossible situation. But God, in his love and his grace and his mercy, will let you stand on the edge, but he's still saying this morning, sanctify yourself. I want to do wonderful and great things for you and in your life and for those that you will touch, but until you just get right with me, you're going to stay on this side of the impossible thing. Come on, everybody say, sanctify yourself. If you and I ever expect to get over that or get past that in order to get past the Jordans that arise in our lives, we are going to have to learn that one of the first things we must do is examine our lives. Make sure we're as clean as we possibly can be, because God wants to do great things. It was a critical time. You're faced with what is impossible, and you have a decision to make. I'm at the edge of the Jordan. Am I going to break down right here, or am I going to break through? Some of us, it becomes so overwhelming that we just break down. God wants us to break through. Say amen. You've got to decide, am I going over right now, or am I going under? Some of us have gone under. There was no way that out of their obedience in doing what God said and instructed them to do, and I'm trying to pass over some stuff because we're almost done, and I want to bring you to the close, and there's so much preaching there, there's so much teaching, but it's a critical moment and a critical time. There's too much for me to go all the way there. But God brought them over on dry ground. He's still a miracle-working God. It's a critical moment, and that God required their obedience. Without it, they would never get to the land of promise. Some of us have gone under rather than going over. Some of us have broke down rather than having a breakthrough. God wants to bring you over to the other side. Come on, how many of you want to cross over this morning? You can remain on this side and settle and give up and give in, or say it's an impossible, impassable situation. Or you can trust God to get you over to promise. There was a problem, and the problem was that it was uncrossable. How am I going to get over that? They could have sat there and said, like the 10 spies that went in and looked at the land of promise beforehand and said, we can't do it. There's too many giants. There's too many circumstances and situations. I'm never going to get over that. But then Joshua and Caleb. It only takes one or two people to stand up and to just have faith and believe and proclaim the word of the Lord. Somebody has to lead people. God uses people to lead other people to victory. But oftentimes, he'll speak to you and say, you got to just get there all by yourself. And what he's trying to do is to get you to grow up in your faith. He's trying to get you to trust the God that your heart has been given to. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave you on one side of the Jordan and say, now you figure it out and you get there on your own. Uh-uh. He's a faithful God. This morning, there was a performance. When the priest stepped into the raging river, it parted and they stood there on dry ground. Verse 16 says that the waters backed up from the city of Adam, and this is some 20 miles north of where the children of Israel were crossing. God made a path through the water that was more than enough for all of the children to get through that thing, to get across to the other side. It was almost as if God was kind of showing off his power. I mean, think about it. He could have just made a narrow way. He had done it at the Red Sea and got them across. Now there's another impossible situation that's standing in front of them. And when the priests step in and the waters part, he doesn't just make room just enough for the children of Israel to get across the promise and get across to the other side, but he backed it up some 20 miles away. And when I thought about that and I said, God, why did you go to such great length to back it up so far when they were basically just going, you know, in I would imagine somewhat of an order, because the Ark of the Covenant had to go before them and they had to remain at a distance. So I would imagine they weren't all that wide going across. And I thought about it and I said, God, why did you do what you did at such a great length, so far, 20 miles this way and this way, that it was unnecessary? And I thought about it. And I thought about my own life, and I thought about when God does things in his word, he doesn't do it just for you. He wants others to see that if God can bring me across to the other side, if he can bring the children, millions of people across to the other side, don't you think that the God of Israel can get you over to the other side as well? That he doesn't just do it for you and wants to keep it a secret and doesn't want anybody else to know about it. But I can guarantee you that those people 20 miles away said, what is going on over there? What's happening down there? Why is there no more water here? And word had to have spread about the wonder-working miracle of the God that they served, dried up the water, removed the circumstance in the situation, gave them what they needed to get to the other side, to testify so that others will know that what God did for them, he can do for you. What he has done for me, I said, God will do for you. Say, well, Pastor Gloria, I don't know if that really applies here. The devil is a liar. I said, I am overwhelmed at just the inexhaustible applications that there are in the Word of God. You can preach it from Genesis to Revelation, and you are never going to get all of what God is saying in his word. When we preach a message, we are just scratching the surface of the depth of what God is really, 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 really saying. Pastor Glory, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying it doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. It doesn't matter what you have been through. It doesn't matter how insurmountable and how uncrossable and how impassable. I'm not messing up and saying in the wrong pronunciation for impossible. I can't get over this. How am I going to get over this? My husband says he doesn't love me anymore. My wife says she doesn't love me anymore. My family member has cancer. I'm addicted to prescription drugs. I have an alternate lifestyle that nobody knows about, but yet I'm here. Remember, the children of Israel were not perfect people, but they were the children of God. And he said, sanctify yourselves. I'll get you over to the other side. I believe that God is about to, my faith says, God can and will explode this ministry. There are too many people that need to know how to cross over to the other side. Too many people that need to know how to get from where they are to where you are this morning in Christ. I don't know what your impossible story is. I don't know what you're facing right now. So much preaching there. But I'm standing here to tell you this morning that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Well, I don't see him moving. I don't hear him talking. I don't get it. Are you listening? Are you seeking him? Are you willing to go where he says go? Even if it means on the edge of something that you're petrified, to take that step. And when you do, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm telling you that God is faithful. I said, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. I don't know what the impassable situation is. You're either in it or you're about to come face to face with it. But you remember the word this morning. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Keep yourself right before him. Do what God says do. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I said, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. There are some people right now under the sound of my voice, and I feel you pulling. You're desperate. God is saying, keep your eyes on me. Seek me. Don't look to the left or to the right, but keep your eyes right on me, says the Lord. God can undo what's been done, even if it was at your... You made the choices. You made the Jordan bigger than what it should have been. Doesn't matter. And I don't know why I keep staying on this point, but sanctify yourself. Just say, God, I'm sorry. Whatever the sin may have been, maybe just the fact that you just said, God, I don't need you and I can handle this. Oh, no, you can't. That's why you're still on that side of the Jordan. I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Renee. But this morning, I feel like the message went a completely different direction than what I had intended, but God knows. I said he'll speak individually and he'll speak corporately all at the same time. Where'd you go, Layton? Where is he? There you are. This could have been a situation where, because Layton was behind the wheel, how am I ever going to get over that? But God, in his love and his mercy, kept the three of you in the palm of his hand. His safety was there, and you're leading worship this morning. I said, what the enemy means for evil, God said, I'll turn it around for my good, that for your good, that I might get all the glory. And that's what God's looking for. He wants to do the impossible in your life that he might receive all the glory and the honor. And when he does, Layton, you got to tell everybody, look what the Lord hath done. The vehicle can be replaced. Stuff can be replaced, but people can. So you got to, when God does something, in the natural, it looks like, what are you talking about? God kept you. Look at the cars. Look at the situation. Look at the circumstance that you're standing in. It doesn't matter. As long as you have breath in your body, the Lord is working and doing something that you could not have done on your own. Tell everybody when the Lord does something for you, just like the children of Israel when they crossed the Jordan. Why did God make it so wide? Because he wants everybody to know what a good, loving, saving, supernatural God that he is. So I just want to encourage you this morning. I hope that your heart is. And that I want to say thank you, Pastor Debbie, for allowing me to come.
Pastor Renee.